Well, good morning.
Good morning.
This is the fifth Sunday of Lent. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week in the church. The Lenten journey has been difficult this year. Oh, you're a brand new grandma. What do you know? Beautiful grandbaby.
Oh, joy.
Yeah. There have been lots of things that we've endured this year already, and it's just now coming to the end of March. One more Sunday left, and then April, and the promise of new beginnings. I've noticed out front as Charles and his crew were doing the landscaping, he was able to save the azaleas, which were in full bloom after that horrendous freeze, which is really a remarkable thing, the resilience of God's creation. And it reminds me that we are God's creation. And so we are resilient. This past week was spring break for students and teachers and administration, and I know some of you were able to take advantage of the break to do some traveling, maybe recreate or rejuvenate. Now, spring break itself doesn't mean a whole lot to Angela and I these days. All the kids are growing and off raising their own families, and we live vicariously through their photographs on Facebook. I know some of my grandkids were at the beach and others were off doing other adventures with their family. And Angela and I didn't do much of anything, which is great. How many of you just revel in the fact that you don't have any responsibility virtually during the week that everybody else is out going and doing? I take full advantage of that time to catch up on my sermon research, and I prepare for the end of the Lenten season, which is marked by this holy week. I like to spend my mornings out on the patio in the cool air, sipping coffee, looking out over God's creation, or at least the golf course's version of God's creation, which is still beautiful, by the way. And, you know, if I get up early enough and get my coffee and get out there, I get to see the deer that are grazing on the golf course. And they drink from the pond before the first golf cart rolls up to the tee box and chases them off. But that quiet time, sometimes there's a little mist over the pond. It just reminds me that it's a perfect time for peaceful prayer and reflection. It's the essence of the Lenten season for me. So we have all this stuff coming up, the Holy Week and all that that brings with it. And I hope that this Lenten season, your journey to the cross with Christ has been fruitful and productive. I hope you too have been able to make time in your busy schedules for a pause, for a few moments of sincere prayer and reflection and introspection. Because as we count down to the crucifixion of our Lord, we need to be asking those important questions. What have you learned about who God is, about who Jesus is, and about who you are when you abide in Him? Has the time that you've spent in this Lenten journey been revealing to you? Have you discovered anything about how you fit into what God is doing in the world? Have you discovered what Jesus was asking of you when he told you to pick up your cross and follow him? Have you figured out that the only way to reach The destination where you end up in the eternal presence of God is to believe on Jesus crucified, buried, and resurrected. There's so many questions to contemplate as we journey together during the Lenten season. They're all important questions that most people in their worldly worldview never even pause to consider. And so it's in this context, I want to bring us together for this time into the Old Testament, the time of King David, as we look at the psalm that Barbara read to us as we responded in our response this morning. We look at Psalm 51. It's a psalm written by King David, wherein David laments and reflects on his sinful nature. The same sinful human nature that you and I struggle with along our Lenten journey. That same struggle was David's struggle. His psalm is one of reflection. It's one of confession. It's one of repentance. Now, you've heard the words many times, but I'm going to ask you this morning to close your eyes and listen to what David is saying directly to his God. Put yourself in David's place. The first words he utters, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit." That is a prayer of salvation. That is a prayer only made possible by the grace and mercy of God. And even though David didn't know the name, only made possible by the Messiah Jesus. David says, "Against you and you alone have I sinned, O God." See, during our reflection, do we realize what exactly are our transgressions? Do we understand the magnitude of our sin just by virtue of the fact that we are human? Do we truly get that our God is a perfect, just, and holy God who cannot abide anything that is contrary to his nature? Do we fully appreciate the wrath that is due each of us and the lavish, abundant, extravagant grace that our God extends to us by having his one and only Son go to the cross for us? Do we understand the depth of the wickedness of the human heart and the extreme measures God is taking to reconcile you and me back to him? Do we get just how badly we each need a personal Savior? David says, "Hide your face from my sins. Wipe away all my transgressions, O God. Have you asked your Father in heaven for forgiveness? Have you expressed any gratitude at all for the amazing grace, the wonderful free gift that he's given you in providing you a way back to him?" David says, "Wash me white as snow, O God, and I will be made whole." Have you acknowledged at all this Lenten season the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, his death and resurrection, and the fact that through that sacrifice you have the ability to take part in the resurrection? He took upon him your sin, my sin, indeed the sin of all humankind, and exchange he gave to you and to me and any that call on him righteousness. Do we understand the gravity, the magnificence of that gift? That we can give up our sin to Jesus. He paid for it. And now you have his righteousness if you are willing to call him Lord and Savior. David says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Have you considered the grace and mercy of God who gave his Son, his one and only begotten Son, so that you should not perish but have eternal life? And in so choosing, he transforms you into a new creation. He transforms your heart. He renews your mind. He puts you into a right spirit. He makes you wholly, completely, and eternally acceptable to God. This is the hope that we have in Jesus. This is the hope we have in the resurrection. This is the hope we have through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. That we would be justified. And through justification, we would journey through this life becoming sanctified. That is, we will become more and more like Christ. And that having been sanctified in Christ, we will be glorified and spend our eternity with God. You recall that Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they would know God and his Son who he has sent." Jesus answers the question that we all have: what is eternal life? That we would know God and his Son, Jesus Christ, who he has sent. If you haven't considered these questions, there's still time. You haven't missed out. There's still time to consider these questions. One final question as our Lenten journey comes to a close: has this journey brought you any closer to knowing God more, knowing Christ more today than when you first began this journey? We call that progress. We call that sanctification. If you know Christ a little bit more today than you did yesterday, your journey has been a fruitful one. But as I said, if not, there's still time to take that first step. But the caution is, don't tarry too long, because the time is at hand. The night, as the Bible says, is far gone, and the light of a new dawn is coming soon. Amen. This is eternal life, that they would know God and his Son who he has sent. And so as you answer that final question, do I know God? Do I know his Son? Do I live my life worthy of the sacrifice that Jesus made for me? A few steps further, and we will arrive at Calvary. It's just a few days' journey from now. And there we have the opportunity to lay at the base of the cross all that is broken within us. It's like you're carrying a wheelbarrow full of stuff. And it's a little unbalanced and it's a little hard to get to our destination and maintain the balance. It takes effort. But when we finally get to the base of the cross and we upend that wheelbarrow of stuff and it pours out at the base of the cross, suddenly our burden is light. This is the opportunity that you have to emerge from this Lenten season victorious. His victory is your victory. If you've been willing to journey to the cross with him. Take that with you this week. As we come to Palm Sunday and we celebrate his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and we see how quickly that triumphal entry turns into deceit, deception, cruelty. We see the best of humankind turned into the worst of humankind. And ultimately, we see the victory of Christ over all of it. And we get to share in that as his disciples. Are you with me? More importantly, are you with Christ in this journey? We're almost there. Easter morning will be glorious for those that have carried the cross to Calvary with Jesus. Be among those. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.